When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey. The Smithsonian, that if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop that's just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
Oh, Kenneth Copeland. Yeah.
This week we're going to do a crossover with the Ninjas Are Butterflies guys. They're a podcast from Orlando area. Good dudes. We went down there and we did a crossover together a while ago, but we're going to release that today on our feed. Check out those guys, Ninjas Are Butterflies, and hope you like this one. And we'll have some exciting news with those guys coming up here soon. So if you like this, you're going to get more of this. Hope you enjoy it.
Kenneth Copeland.
Thing where he talks about why he needs two jets, not just one. He has two jets.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't want to fly in the tube full of demons, right?
Dude, see, you need to meme video, whatever that one is. That one is special.
Because we have his Bible.
it's full of demons.
Someone sent us Kenneth Copeland's Bible, and it's the Bible, but with like his notes in it.
It's his highlighting.
Oh, come on.
Nah. But it's like simple things like, oh, he highlighted John 3:16. It's like, man, I just think this is a very important verse. It's like, yeah, obviously, dude.
He wrote Tim Tebow in the margins.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? It's like, you citing Tim Tebow for your source?
Think about that. For a love gift of $99.99, you can have all my Bible notes.
That's all you got to do, baby. It's like, man, I'm that closer to heaven. Oh, dude, it's perfect. Just sow your seed right now.
How's everybody's ears? Anyone need anything?
I feel like I need to be a little bit louder, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
A little bit louder now?
A little bit louder now.
I love the size and the butterflies.
Props. Perfect, right?
Props to knowing.
Dude, I like these orange seats. Where do you find that? Thrift store?
These?
No, these and that.
Facebook Marketplace,
too.
Baby.
Facebook it's like it's out of like a diner or something.
That's from Amazon.
Yeah.
And that's from Facebook Marketplace.
We found this and we painted it orange. It was black originally, I think.
Painted the leather orange?
Yeah. It was like from like
leather.
Like some smoke lounge in Orlando. Yeah. The guy could He could not care less about us. Like, we're here to pick up the booze. He's like, da, da, da. He's on his phone. I was like, okay, we're just going to grab whatever.
It looks great.
Yeah, it's great. It's sticky, though.
Do you ever get orange on your pants? You're like, dude.
I'm trying to think. Like, it happened again. It's taking me back to the 80s in like a Pizza Hut booth or something.
Yeah, dude. We're going for like Pizza Hut and Nickelodeon they had a baby.
Those red cups in the 90s, the Pizza Hut, dude.
Listen, I was going to wear a sweatshirt because me and Andrew matched today, but it's way too hot.
Too hot. I took mine off, dude.
Round table. So we just have round table pizza.
No, the 80s was like Straw Hat pizza and Shakey's. Remember Shakey's?
No, I remember Round Table.
Shakey's?
Shakey's pizza.
Where'd you grow up?
California.
That's what we called my grandpa.
Shakey's. Shakey's. Yeah, that's what they call my grandpa with Parkinson's. Ew. Sad.
Guys. That'll be sad.
Cancel.
No. No.
Sad. He actually enjoyed it. It was a term of endearment.
Shakey's.
Listen, here comes Shakey's. He loved Parkinson's, guys. Stop. You don't know my grandpa. It's like, no,
he branded
you do.
It. He used it. It was his brand. It was his thing.
It's his thing.
It's my grandpa, too.
Welcome back.
So we started already.
We're here. We're here. We're live, baby.
It's good.
That's how they do it. They get you to say all the things and then.
Yep.
They're like, where are we going? Like,
okay. I mean, hypothetically, if you were to get canceled, what would you have got canceled for? Say it. Wait, I mean, we're not recording, are we?
Who'd you guys vote for?
Yeah. Tell us the worst thing you said off camera.
How much money do you make right now?
Hey, guys, it's Blurry Creatures.
Blurry Creatures is here.
Nate and Luke.
Nate and Luke, baby. Thanks, what's your last name, Nate? Henry. Luke Rogers, Nate Henry. Yeah. All right. Was here with us. We're in outside of Orlando, Florida. Sunday cool, baby.
Sunday cool, Ninjas and Butterflies.
Ba 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 ba.
These guys, we're loving these guys flew in just to hang out with us, which is an honor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which
yeah.
I get it.
And it, and they've already and they've already told us it's worth it.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah.
It's worth their time, their effort, their energy, being away from their families. They said there's nowhere else we'd rather be.
That's right.
Especially when you feed us tacos.
I know.
You did feed them tacos.
It's a low bar, guys. It's a low bar.
No, you walk in, the aesthetic just nails you, and you feel like you're at home.
Yeah, you see the you see the pink alligators. You're
see the Pray for Vegans flag. And,
people have asked what our studio smells like. Can you guys tell them what it smells like?
Yeah, first
what
first
it smells like? It smells like just a lot of testosterone.
Nice.
Mixed with maybe someone didn't wash one shirt.
That's fair.
Or two.
Or two.
I would say, is that
more underwear?
Is that ketchup?
Yeah. Ketchup
and onions?
Ketchup underwear.
It's in my mouth.
Hey, on second thoughts, those tuxedos, guys. I mean.
It's thick. Thick in this air.
Yeah. No, you got to bring a lady in here sometimes, so I'm sure it smells great.
We do, and it's his wife.
Lily, my wife, and she...
But she's used to your smell.
Exactly.
She is.
Yeah.
So that's my testosterone ketchup smell.
So that
I think it's pretty much odor agnostic. It's nice in here.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure if that smells what I'm smelling.
I'm not sure I can define any of that.
That is true, though. There is like a secret smell where your house smells a certain way, but you don't know. And then you're like, you ask somebody, hey, what does it smell like in here? Does it smell good or not? Like, you can't smell it? No, you can't. You get immune to it after a while.
No, it's a
thing.
I've always wondered that.
Honestly, the way to figure it out is to go into your closet and pull some sheets out that you haven't used in a long time and smell that. That's what your house smells like.
Really?
Do you think that counts for the closet as well?
I don't know.
Because I pulled out a shirt the other day that I hadn't worn in like a year. And I pulled out and smelled
that. That's
like,
that smell, yeah. I wonder if that's what your house smells
rough.
Like.
I go into my closet and it's so warm in there because there's no vent and we keep the door closed, and so we walk in, it's like this humid closet. I'm like, this doesn't represent the rest of my home. So there's no
way. You're telling me my house smells like a sweaty dude.
Yeah.
That's just you and your closet.
You just have some mothballs hanging up in
here. I was just about to say, my grandma's closet, the mothball smell.
Dude.
I kind of love it.
Intoxicating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also gives you
I don't know if
I love it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if moths and butterflies go together, but some people think so.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care what you say. I don't care if it gives me cancer. I love it.
you can fill in a lot of blanks.
Listen. So, guys, we usually start out with a song. Do you want a song?
Yeah.
Would you like a song?
I've been waiting for a song.
I want a song. Luke likes to sing on our podcast. So.
Well, if you feel like you can... If you can tune in, go for it.
So normally I just play guitar, but I know you have a background in music, so I brought you
get him on
guitar.
It. Get Big Red
no,
on
I'm
the,
good.
On
I'm,
the
reti- I'm retired.
All right, he's retired.
I don't even know what song it is.
Get
what chords are there?
Yeah, just
talk. You talk national numbers.
You know three songs. You can do a worship song. Come
the
on.
The whole thing is 1-4, and then it goes 1-5-4 in the key of C.
This is where we find out Nate has never played in a band.
I've never. I played bass, so.
He's like Ashley Simpson. Like, did you start the track already?
Yes, that was so good.
I'm just gonna pretend like I'm playing.
Just act like you're strumming. No one's going to hear you. It's fine.
All right. Well,
Nina Freeberg?
I guess we'll just come up with something.
Yeah, we'll just dabble. We'll just dabble. Reach in. We got some really cool guests today, so maybe we can tie them in somehow.
What, like blurry creatures?
Possibly. I don't know. That's I don't know how
idea.
Important they are, but
yeah,
not important. But you know, that's a challenge.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll see
I
if
like
we can
it.
Put something in.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It started with a picture long ago, swimming in a lake so very well. Everyone would look. And everyone would know the story of the monster they would tell. She was born in the land of Scotland, a life that feels so very messy. Cause I can only imagine what she's thinking, what she's swimming, knowing that her name is Nessie. And we said, hey, the blurry creature. Creature. walking through the woods late at night.
Oh, I thought that was for you.
Looking through the woods.
Oh, let's do that again. Let's go. Dude,
this is so good.
He's walking through the woods late at night. Looking out for cameras with his eyes.
Yes.
Going through those places with unfamiliar faces. We looked at Bigfoot and he shouts and cries. And he said, hey, you blurry creatures. Find them now. And go, go, go home, you blurry creatures.
Creatures is in the house.
Wow.
I love it.
We're going to need to.
Ninjas are butterflies,
baby.
We
might need that. We might need to just license that for the show. Yeah.
Hey,
that was special, guys. I mean, that was.
That was
you know,
the best intro we've
had. I don't know where. Yeah. I don't know where I thought the bar would be, but you exceeded it.
We raised it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
No, that was amazing.
Episode 36, Ninjas of Butterflies.
63.
What did I say?
36.
Okay,
a lot of people have that problem.
What is that called when you mix it back and forth?
Dyslexia.
Dyslexia. I'm pretty sure I have that, dude. Episode 63. We could not be more excited.
That was awesome.
The fact that Blurry Creatures.
Thank you.
Yeah, we wrote that like an hour before I left to go pick him up. Yeah. It's off of that song. What's it? It's Big and Rich.
Holy Water.
Holy Water.
Big and Rich. You know the legendary band Big and Rich?
No, Big and Rich?
Yeah.
Everyone knows that
Big
band.
Big Kenny and John Rich.
Yeah.
I've been to John Rich's house. He's got a guitar-shaped pool.
Are you really?
And an elevator.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look at that. Full circle, baby.
Maybe don't show him that song.
I'd be like, hey, John, whose number I don't have. Hey, let me... You might want to sign these guys. They got some talent. He's like, that melody sounds a little familiar.
If we get sued by Big and Rich, that's the way I want to go out.
Yeah.
You give me an idea, though. We might need to put out a cryptic record, you know, like about all the blurry creatures, but it's just like...
The blurry EP? Dude, let's make a blurry
band.
EP.
Okay.
Just singing all about...
I'm pretty worthless.
All about the blurry.
You get like all your favorite podcasts. You get your favorite podcast and band dudes to come up with like funny songs about Sasquatch.
Dude.
I love that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
No one steal that idea. That's ours.
Switch move?
I know. We just put it out.
Yeah. Switchfoot.
Hey, speaking of.
Why am I so dyslexic today?
I don't know.
Andy, speaking of.
Squidfoot?
Speaking of Switchfoot.
Switch move.
Hey, do you know they're going to be out on tour? You know who they're with out on tour next year? Creed.
And?
Switchfoot and Creed?
Three Doors Down.
No, Squidfoot and Creed.
Squidgefoot?
Bro, hey.
Squidfoot?
We're a little older than you guys, but
no,
there is a
my...
Summer of 99 tour coming. This is totally off, but it is Creed is back together, and they are Switchfoot's going out, and something's really awesome about that. Like, you may not like any of that music. I like Switchfoot, all right. But you might not like any of the music, but you want to come just to see this, right? Like Scott Stapp doing Scott Stapp things like... Like, you know, halftime at the Cowboys game where he's like, guys are flying around on ribbons and stuff.
In the jersey, dude.
Let's go.
I've actually reached out to him on the Ninjas TikTok and asked him, like, hey, when are you coming on the pod? Because they are promoting their new tour.
Dude, he lives in Brentwood. Like, I saw
this is perfect.
Dude, I've got a great Scott Stapp story. I got a buddy who's like a pretty well off. They live in a really nice neighborhood. I don't know how else to put this. But Scott Stapp lives in his neighborhood. And my friend is like 60 something years old and he has no idea who Creed is. And he's like, there's this guy and he goes down to the pool and acts like he owns this place. And he's the biggest jerk and he's kicking things in the pool. And he's, and I was like, oh, okay. You got a new neighbor? And he's like, you're this guy named Scott Stapp. And I was like,
classic Scott.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
I'm like, from Creed? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, so you like everyone in your neighborhood, but the guy from Creed. This is my favorite story about Scott Stapp.
You need to change, dude. If Scott Stapp doesn't like you, you need to change. That's my opinion.
I'm like, man, I'm like, Marshall, I love that you have no idea. It's like that one dad who there's that famous meme where he's taking a selfie and he's like, look who it is. It's Justin Bieber. And it's like Bieber's behind him. Yeah. You're like, this is the guy. And he's like, I don't know who this is, but. This guy's a jerk. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He thinks he owns the pool. He does not own the pool.
No.
But speaking of Creed, I have a question for the day.
That's a really good transition.
There it is.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Today's question, sent in by our viewer.
I'll take it from here.
Do what?
I said I'll take it from here.
With a question?
Yeah. Because it's been 63 episodes, Josh, and I've never been able to control a question. I have a question that's been laying on my mind. It's been laying on my heart for years. Okay. And I just want to ask it.
Is all right. Cool? Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's
real serious. I like this vibe.
This is okay. Weird, but
question of the day.
Sent in by you.
Sent in by me. Did Bigfoot kidnap Nightmare?
It's okay. What?
That was a good first start. Yeah, that was good.
It's all right. That's coming.
It's okay.
Did Bigfoot kidnap my daddy?
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's definitely not because
my dad, not to interrupt, but like my dad left as a very young child and I never got to know him. So,
yeah.
And a lot of people have said, maybe that's why. So I'm asking you today, did Bigfoot kidnap my daddy?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
Like, why is he gone? Because why else would he be gone if he's not kidnapped by Bigfoot? Like, why else?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not because he didn't love you or just didn't want you to be in his life.
So you say no?
No, I'm saying...
What do you say? Did Bigfoot kidnap my daddy?
I think he did.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, of course he did. Because, like, why else? Why wouldn't he be?
Oh, I mean, you know, honestly, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
And this is a big moment for you, and I'm glad that you led yourself to water, if you will, in that sort of metaphor. But you, yeah, absolutely.
Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, I did. Bigfoot, that's where your dad is. Bigfoot just took him. Yeah.
And he's pretty elusive, man. That's why I haven't seen him. Sure, he's hard to find.
Yeah, I'm sure he misses you. Yeah, right, guys? Like
he's probably riding on a horse somewhere.
He's just probably finding fun just protecting people.
He's riding on a horse next to Bigfoot.
Yeah, just riding on a horse in the sunset with Bigfoot.
Okay, well, you're here first. Bigfoot kidnapped Andy's dad, and that's why he's been absent his whole life. Welcome to the show.
Come back!
Butterfly. The butterfly is no doubt one of God's
chosen
people.
I said,
empty your mind.
You were martial arts.
Fuck ninjas are
dead. Man, daddy issue. That's one way to start a show, isn't it?
We always somehow bring up Andy's dad being absent. So
you guys are so
this is fine.
Incredible.
This is amazing.
Ugh.
You're all right.
We also like to start off.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I am having
fun. Me too, dude. I'm having a blast.
I'm having fun.
We don't get to have fun a lot. Well, we do, but we...
It's a different kind of fun.
Yeah, you guys talk a lot about conspiracies and...
It gets heavy.
A lot of weird stuff, and that's not a lot of... And I know you guys...
Well, I was about to say, we have this thing that we typically do with our guests, and I don't know how much you guys have seen of our podcast, but we typically start off by asking a question... guess
you guys do the same thing.
Yeah.
You guys.
Oh yeah. We
always kind of funny. Like one specific question.
But we're going to ask, what are your thoughts on big feet?
Big feet. I'm not really.
Weird,
into,
right?
I don't know. I'm not really into big feet.
Oh man. Yeah. You can make a lot of
like
money.
Like that one. That's a big foot.
You can make a lot of money with big feet.
Also, that's two
those toes
big feet.
What are your thoughts on big feet though?
Like hobbit feet, like
sure.
Hairy
just
and big
feet.
Just
in
big
general.
Feet in general.
No. I mean, there are certain people that are feet people, you know.
Yeah,
Quentin Tarantino is a foot person.
So is Rex.
You guys talk about
Rex Ryan's a foot guy.
I know you guys talk about Bigfoot a lot.
Yeah,
which that is a big foot.
But those are many feet or many foots, as you would say feet. Then
so would you say
Bigfoot?
Look at
right
that
there.
One.
God, what'd you pay for that picture?
A lot.
Yeah, that's multiple. It's a whole family of big feet.
Oh, that one's special too. Big,
hey, come on,
big boy. Paw. Oh.
I just had to add Kermit's feet. In the beginning.
There we go.
Big feet of all the celebrities, big feet.
We don't ask that question. We just wanted to play off your guys.
No,
what do you guys think of Bigfoot? What do you guys think of Bigfoot?
Oh man,
crazy,
I
right?
I love him. He's the greatest. He's changed my life.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the newest video of Bigfoot?
Hold on,
I know you guys mentioned
Let me preface this. everyone watching this right now,
yeah,
this is not going to be anything like you've ever watched before. We're just going to talk about the craziest stuff.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's because
we're not going to talk
really
about
abnormal.
TikToks. We got the dudes from Blurry Creatures who are based out of Tennessee.
Right,
they're down in Florida. They just got here. They're leaving tonight. So we're just going to be asking them all the questions that we could possibly ask them.
Like, where did Andy's dad go?
Yeah.
What do you think of Big Feet?
We figured that out. So what do we figure about Big Feet?
I want to hear y'all's thoughts on Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
The actual Bigfoot.
The Squatch.
The one with the big feet. Bigfoot!
Yeah. You know, the Bigfoot's foot, we're starting there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing foot. I'm serious. The Sasquatch foot can bend in the middle.
What?
Yeah, it's got like a hinge in it.
Okay.
So it can like go straight up a mountain because it has like a hinge.
So that's how how big it is, because usually it's either a curve, and people who get flat feet are made fun of. But the next person would be an angled in the middle of the flat foot.
So they're like,
and that's what Bigfoot
is.
They're
like the gods.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. Yeah,
if you get made fun of being flat foot, if your foot's...
I'm just saying, I saw somebody on TikTok last night that said, like, they just, like, a dude that just put his foot down on the ground, and it was the flattest foot I've ever seen. And so, like, everyone has a little bit of an arch. Bigfoot has to have such a foot that's so big that you're saying it has an arch in the middle? Like, there's
it has
like,
a hinge. They call it the mid hinge. They call it the mid tarsal break.
Are we talking like toe to heel, like a V?
No, we're talking right in the middle, right in the middle.
Like your toes go up.
Yeah, like his toes can go up. Yeah, wow. So you can see it in the footprints of the Sasquatch, but you know, more of like the scientists. We brought on some scientists on the show who talk about, you know, the anomalies of the foot itself, that it can't be faked because it's such a unique foot itself. But like, obviously they're not wearing shoes.
Like no one would think to fake it like that.
Yeah.
Because they're also measuring like the weight. Like they're the they're measuring like the level of the ground, the weight that it would take to put down. And so there's a lot of that goes into it.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I feel like you're an expert and you see these casts, you're like, this thing's not fake. It's not. It's just so many little details here that you can't fake, and you'd have to know anatomy, and you'd have to be able to, you know what I'm saying? So the foot itself is sort of, I think, obviously that's where they found the tracks. You know, the guys that were, there was a story where like Sasquatch started where they, these construction workers up near where they filmed the Bigfoot were seeing these massive tracks kind of around the area. Mm. And then they came back and they saw some tractor tires like being thrown around. And a lot of the dudes quit. They were like working on the roads. And like,
Scott Stapp.
I'm not. Yeah. Scott Stapp.
That guy's
thing.
A jerk, man.
And that's how Creed was started. That's
So like, yeah, that's where the Bigfoot, you know, kind of the name comes from. You know, it's kind of stuck in the mud there. But then,
what's like the indigenous, like Native Americans? What would they refer to Bigfoot as?
There was over what I think there was over 100 names.
No way.
In Indian, for Sasquatch, which is probably the most popular one.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of names for this creature, and that's kind of where our show started.
I was gonna say, because like that's the whole premise of where you guys.
Yeah.
Hit off the ground. Well, it was Sasquatch. It was Bigfoot.
Yeah, we wanted to start somewhere that was sort of a good launching point, and I think Sasquatch is the most popular of all the cryptid creatures,
especially American culture.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, he's seen all over the world, different versions of this thing. Yeah,
well, we were like talking about a British Bigfoot. Yeah, actually,
I've never known that. I've never heard anything overseas.
There's the Yeren, the Yeti.
Okay,
what's the British Bigfoot?
They call him like the wild man. The wild man. And there's a bunch of stories, and
you'd be good friends.
I mean, they have. There's this lore around it, and there's sightings of this on the British Isles. And we were talking to Hugh Newman this week, who's been on Ancient Aliens. He's been on our show a couple of times, and he was the first. Actually, we've done two interviews this week, and for the first time, really, we've had two repeat guests want to revisit that question. Right? Like, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot? Which is how we start all our shows. And he was saying that. You don't think about England and the UK with being a lot of wild spaces, but there really is.
Yeah.
And so there's enough sightings and encounters there that there's something going on. He talked a lot about a guy named Nick Redfern who wrote a book about Bigfoot in the UK, if you will, but they call him the Wild Man. And they're everywhere though. Like you've got, there's the one in Australia. There's the Arambek.
Erect. Something
like that.
Somewhere, that's all that matters. Someone's giggling.
Well, there's
that
more.
Orang, I think it's Orang Pendek.
Orang Pendek, thank you.
That's, is that China? I don't know.
No, now, it's Vietnam.
Now, Vietnam. It's similar. Like, is that in every culture? Like, in most cultures, there's always a Bigfoot kind of like, because we've seen like dragons and angels have always like in literature of cultures. Like, is that the same thing with Bigfoot?
Well, I don't think it's ambiguous. I don't think there's not.
No, because some of them are smaller. Like, the North American ones are sort of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And some of the ones in like Australia are shorter, 4 foot, weird. 5 foot, 6 foot.
You know what's fascinating about that when you ask about the Native American stuff is that, like, do you realize that, like, when they have the totem poles, right, that every one of those is a real animal on the totem pole except for Bigfoot, right? So you have this idea that, like, these are all the real things. So why would they put something that they don't believe to be real? They thought this, the Sasquatch or the wild man was the protector of the forest.
Yeah. Right?
And so that's how there was, if you talk to Native American folks that have passed down the traditions, they'll say that you don't go to these places and he's the protector of the forest, but you leave them alone. You kind of stay out of their space.
So did they fear him, or was it like a respect kind of thing?
It was both. I think it was the kind of like, fear of God, right? You respect God completely. And we're not diminishing.
So you think Bigfoot is God?
wait, breaking news.
No, I mean, but the analogy there is that
I got you.
You respect this thing, so you stay away from.
You got to be on your game here.
Yeah you do.
You guys are ninjas.
We
are ninjas.
I'll get you.
Ding ding.
No, Sasquatch is fascinating, and the show started there with the big guy.
Yeah,
and we started bringing on dudes talking about Sasquatch, which leads into like other big beings, and we start talking about giants and things. So
is Bigfoot the gateway drug?
It is.
Conspiracy theorist.
Oh yeah.
I've heard recently. I heard last night that if you know a person,
that's
who
our
owns,
first episode. And that's what it's titled.
Yeah, yeah. If they say if you know somebody who owns chickens, they're a conspiracy theorist.
That's because, funny.
Because if you own chickens, you probably have somewhat of a distrust in the food department in America. And then if you have a mistrust in the food department, then you probably have a trust in the pharmaceuticals, and it just continues from there. So it's like owning chickens is a gateway drug for conspiracy podcasts.
Let's make that the question.
Yeah.
Guy, everyone listening, do you own chickens? I'm interested. Let's do a poll.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Yeah.
I have chickens.
I do too.
Yes. Luke?
I do not. My wife always wants it, but it's...
Yet.
I always say this is something else that I'm going to have to take care of.
Yeah.
I don't want to add that to my list.
Oh, last night?
They seem pretty easy.
Last night?
We forget to feed them, like, sometimes quite a bit.
Yeah, we will have chickens at some
last
point.
Night.
Same thing with kids, though. Yeah. I mean, they're pretty easy as long as you
kids and chickens,
feed them every once in a while.
You have to put them up, though. Last night I was in my underwear walking through the backyard. It's 30 degrees outside.
Everyone close your eyes and imagine.
Stepping on walnuts. Right.
What a picture that is.
Yeah. And I was just, are they in there? I hope they're in there. Lock them up.
Just a toss of food and hope for the best.
So no, they're the best.
You definitely saw the video of the Bigfoot in Colorado. Yeah.
We see them all now. We get them all.
No, the one that's talking about
I think that was fake, totally. So
you think?
It has to be fake.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Why do you think it's fake? That's what I'm curious. Because it looks like such a specific video. It seems weird. It does seem weird that he would sit down in the middle of a mountain.
There's like a Sasquatch trailer company like right around the corner.
Yeah.
And they like posted a thing on their Instagram that says, "We didn't do it."
Of course they didn't.
And it looked like a manicured suit. Like, it looked like he had just got out of like some 70s disco dance club. And you're like, this is just.
I don't understand why Bigfoot would just get up and like realize that you're filming or just see you down. And then just sit down. I'm like, nah. Yeah. It didn't seem real.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like aliens to me. It's
perfect
like
spot.
If it looks like an alien of what I thought, it's like it probably doesn't exist. Because if it's anything like what humans conceived aliens to look like, then it's probably not real.
I mean, there's a hoax and then there's like clever marketing.
Yeah.
I think it's in the clever marketing space.
That blurry line.
It's not like we're trying to hoax you. It's like,
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well done.
So Josh has seen UFOs. Josh has seen at least two UFOs in his life, and I say UFOs because it's unidentified right now.
Yeah.
Close.
And it's one of those things where have you ever had an experience like that where you can't explain something and it's like it's just so out there that you're like, I know it's real, but I know it sounds crazy when I explain it.
Yeah.
Because I have a ghost experience like that, but I don't have anything like a UFO type of thing.
So like Luke's got some. We've told a few stories. I saw like a werewolf creature as a kid. That's the only thing I've ever seen, and it took me a long time to put it together that that's what I saw.
And you're fully confident in what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See. Yeah.
This was California?
California, yeah. And in my parents' house, there was like a screen door that went out from like a sunroom. I was probably like six, seven years old.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I was the youngest, you know, and so you're not in the mindset where you're the oldest child where you can say anything you want and everyone's going to believe you.
Yeah.
And I saw this thing, and I remember looking at it multiple times, and it was like in the window. It was kind of grinning at me, and it had this like red eyes, and I was like, this is not going away. When I look, and I screamed and ran, told my parents. But you know, the reason I remember it though is because I would run from one room to the next for years after that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't look out that window, but the memory itself is, you know, it's kind of fuzzy. It's kind of blurry, I guess.
But it happened.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. How do you...
But then I was listening to Sasquatch shows, and people were saying that they see the dog man. I'm like, the heck is the dog man? I know what the Sasquatch is. What is the dog man?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's what you saw.
I saw the same thing.
I don't... Jeez. What is the dog man?
Yeah.
I've heard
the werewolf. It's the werewolf.
Is it walk up on two legs?
Yeah, it does both. Sometimes it runs off, but it's your classic werewolf.
Is it like the Harry Potter? The...
The Grimm?
Lupin?
Yeah, Lupin.
Yeah, kind of. But it, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just your classic werewolf. Most of them have the werewolf face.
Classic upright. Werewolf.
Now,
pretty
legs.
Terrifying.
Nate, what are your actual thoughts on that? Like, do you think it was an actual physical person who turned into a werewolf? Or do you think it was something spiritual in a
Here's
different
what we're doing.
Realm?
I've listened to probably 10 of your podcasts so far since meeting you guys. And you just opened up this. You're going into all these webs.
Yeah, I'm just it's terrifying.
It's
when
crazy
I think about it.
It's like sitting with Santa Claus. And you just want to ask him like everything about the North Pole.
How do you eat so many cookies in one night? How does it work? I need that.
How's it possible? I've been bloated, dude.
So this is where we're at. So we're gonna
the werewolf.
Yeah, like
there are were creatures.
What does were mean? Like, what is that? Like, what does the word mean?
It's kind of been like, from my understanding, that's more the shape shifting.
Okay, so it's
like they can take on these forms. So I think what we've discovered on our show most of the time is you have sort of an all of the above thing going on a lot. Is Sasquatch an animal? Yeah. Is Sasquatch paranormal? Yeah.
Correct.
Can he go from our dimension somewhere else? Yeah. Can he throw rocks with perfect accuracy? Yeah.
So
can he stay silent in the woods right next to you? Yeah. I don't know. Does he come on and go on in UFOs? Yeah. Like,
so he's in the same category as those types of things where it's something out of our dimension.
It's just like, it's just a broad.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, I think
of like Job where it talks about like the meeting of the heavenly beings or the heavenly creatures and stuff. You know, it's like they didn't say like the meeting of the angels or like all that stuff. You know, it's just like so broad, you know, it's like then Satan or
this
whatever.
Well,
was
I think
there,
we talk about this on our show, Josh. I think there's this, we have this medieval understanding of the supernatural, the spiritual realm, right? Because it becomes very binary, I think, in a lot of our minds. It's just like it's God and angels, you know, but angels in and of itself is a Greek word that just means messenger. It's actually a job title, right? And then if you go in the Old Testament, there's other titles for the host of heaven, if you will, these, you know, Enoch talks about watchers, so and that is a job title as well. They were like sentinels. They're watching. Yeah. What are they watching? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe they're. If you think of heaven as a kingdom, perhaps they're sort of like the lookouts, right? And that was their job. So I always say this, and I really do believe this. I think if we look at the magnitude of creation around us, right, there are millions of different types of life on Earth here, right?
Yeah. That we're discovering every day.
New stuff every day, mostly small stuff. But every once in a while, you'll have something that comes out of the jungles in Southeast Asia, and you go, that's weird. That's something they had never seen before, right? That's where we're at, right? So I think that for us to have this idea that heaven is just this place where there's just these winged sort of pseudo-human things and God himself on his throne is probably very short-sighted. It's probably not so binary. In fact, we contend that there's a lot of things that we learn about heaven in the scriptures that talk about roads and walls, and we talk about manna being the bread of heaven, right? So if you want to reverse engineer that, if you will, then you need grain, and you need to grind grain, and you have to be doing that and farming and those kind of things in heaven. Perhaps that happens. And also, I think that we only get a glimpse of what's happening in that space. We do have the stories about, you know, about the fall of of Satan and Lucifer, and you have, you know, this rebellion in heaven. But as far as like specifics, we don't get a lot.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot that can be explained by being like, well, if this is what we have here, I don't know why we'd think it'd be the diversity, if you will, of creation in the heavens, it would be any different in the sense of, at least that's kind of where I'm following now, because you have too many things, as Nate said, like you have this Bigfoot creature and you have all of these cryptid, these different things that exhibit these supernatural type behaviors, and yeah. You know, there's got to be something to there being a lot more than maybe we've thought about it. And I think that the Middle Ages and all of the Renaissance painters didn't really do us any favors, because you get all these like little babies with wings and things floating. You have these beautiful works of art, but it really gives you a very truncated, you know, sort of perception of what might be in the heavenly realms. And you're right about Job, right? The sons of God cried for joy at the creation of the earth. So there's this, and that's a very broad term, right? So you have this terminology of all these heavenly beings, and it talks about the host of heaven, and they're all kind of watching as God's doing what he's doing. And I don't think it's maybe the way that we've always thought about things, with just these winged dudes, more or less, like just cruising around, playing harps and like
totally
and doing things.
That was going to be one of my questions. So I heard on one of your podcasts, maybe it was with Ali?
With Ali, yeah.
Yeah.
Seattleton.
199.
Yeah, 199. That was a dope episode.
Not 99, yeah.
Yeah. But the where he talked about the just Christianity throughout history, and like the Renaissance era and the Reformation era, and like how they depicted things and stuff. My question is, do you think that we now are moving into a new era of understanding the supernatural, if you will? Like with UFOs coming out and like, just, I don't know. I'm just like, do you think we're entering this new era of understanding, like the mysteries of God are continuing to be revealed in this new era?
Yeah. How do you feel about these new revelations too?
You know, I feel like, you know, the information age, we've definitely got more information, more context to make sense of things. I think a lot of the guys in interpreting things throughout history did the best they could with what they had. You know, you had all these guys like Luther and Calvin kind of coming up trying to make sense of the Bible. They didn't have the Book of Enoch and things like this that clearly the New Testament writers had. Yeah. You know, we did an episode the other night talking about Jude and all the weird stuff in Jude, where Satan and Michael the archangel are fighting over the bones of Moses.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make sense of that in the Middle Ages? Like,
you just kind of pass over.
Yeah, you just pass over.
How do you make sense of it? But also, how do you apply it to your life? Why is that information valuable?
Well, there's something
like,
going
why
on.
Do you even care about it? But it's like, and so trying to understand what's the relevancy to you as a person, like that's tough to see that.
Well, you're trying to understand that there's this cosmic war going on in the Bible. There's these two kingdoms at war with each other.
Yeah.
And if you read it just like a rational, you know, modern day human being that goes to Walmart and comes home and watches Netflix, you're never gonna, it feels like a Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like anything that actually happened.
It's wild.
It doesn't feel real. But I think what we're trying to, what we've discovered on our show is that the world's always been weird. It's always been blurry. There's always been Sasquatch in the woods. And there's always been this weird stuff happening around us. And now we have phones so we can take videos of UFOs. Mm-hmm. But like Bob Lazar said on one of his interviews recently, I saw.
Do you know who Bob Lazar is?
He's the Area 51 guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
One of the UFOs he was talking about was ancient. They dug it up. It was on an archaeological site. So
confirmed. Like by non-theological people, non-Christian people.
Well, this is a government agency. Technology supposedly like Hollywood made and it's fake, and a lot of Christians think it's fake, because they don't understand how to put that in their paradigm, but it's ancient. And then we did an episode on famous UFO battle in Nuremberg in the 1500s, where it looks like you have UFOs fighting each other in the sky, and everyone saw it, and it was documented, and there was a guy that painted a painting of it. And we interviewed Dr. Diana Pasulka, and she got to go into the Vatican archives, and she said there's this whole wing dedicated to UFOs.
I saw.
I brought that up.
Yeah, they talk about how old the pages are, where it like deteriorates.
Yeah.
Even if you touch it in the wrong way,
yeah,
it falls apart. And you ruin.
Also,
history.
So the church has been documenting these things in the context of sort of miraculous happenings, but also contextualizing some of it more so in the later times now as these sort of paranormal UFO experiences. And they have 1,000 years of in the Vatican Library, which you can't get into unless you're.
Yeah.
Catholic and you have special permission, they've been tracking this stuff. So
yeah,
I mean, that's your original question. I think it's fascinating, right? There seems to be this ramping up and more things are happening. I think part of that is a product of the fact of Nate said, the connectedness of all of us, right? So we have the internet, we have instant communication. Y'all are stars on TikTok and YouTube and all these things, right?
Of course we are.
Big stars. Big stars. But no, I mean, like, so you can have information, you know, travel instantaneously, and everyone has a camera in their pocket, right? So I think that's part of it, but I also think that we are coming very close to what the ufology community and what most people would consider disclosure. We have the House Oversight Committee at Congress doing hearings on UAPs and UFOs, forcing the three-letter agencies and the unpaid portions, unelected, not unpaid, very well paid, unelected portions of our government that are working, not governed by the people, in the sense of there's no oversight from the people because these people aren't elected, that have been operating and keeping things from the American public. And I know there's this threat of, or this narrative out there that like, oh, the government is saying this, so we can't believe it. And Nate and I have contended since this came out in this year, this is really interesting timing for us doing Blurry Creatures, because we've been talking about UFOs and stuff, but this is not the government. In fact, these are whistleblowers that now have legal protection. Because mostly because of what happened to Ed Snowden, and now he's a political asylumee in Russia because he disclosed the NSA was spying on all of us, right? Mm-hmm. But now there's legal protections, and so we have people within our government that were parts of programs that are saying I can legally protect it and I can share this now because these things are going on behind the scenes and the American public needs to know, and frankly, Congress doesn't know. That's why they're holding hearings. So. This is not a narrative being pushed by the United States government. This is something that happens worldwide, and in fact, we're getting closer to this disclosure, I believe. And so, that's a long answer. But what I think is coming is, if there is disclosure, this is going to be something that especially people in the church and Christians are going to have a very hard time contextualizing, right? Mm-hmm. Without really having a supernatural worldview of the Bible, because the existence of extraterrestrials, and in fact, when we talk about angels and you know, by definition, are not of earth. We are of earth. As sons of Adam, you know, we are of earth. Angels are not. The sons of God stood and cheered when the earth was created. So by definition, they'd be extraterrestrials. And this is kind of where our show goes in some ways, is how do you contextualize all of this stuff from a biblical worldview? And I think that it's important to have these discussions like we're having today, because if we don't consider this and have these conversations, and you guys have great conversations about all kinds of really cool stuff, and I love that.
Dumb stuff,
but that's what
fun stuff.
But fun stuff, but you need to have those, right? Discourse needs to exist around this.
Well,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about that on the way here, of just like, it's so cool to have a place to where, because you started off just talking about Bigfoot,
right?
And it evolved into this whole, not even world, this whole universe.
Blurryverse.
Dimensions and stuff like that.
Blurverse, dude.
And and that's the path that we might say unfortunately started going down, because it's becomes a little all consuming at times.
I would say unfortunately, because like we started the podcast,
it's cool.
We didn't know where it would end up. We just knew what we wanted to do, and we love what we're passionate about. And the whole idea is behind being a Christian is God fills you with a passion. You follow that passion. He uses it however he wants. And so that's what this podcast has turned into. It's funny. It's terrifying. It's anxiety filling. And it's also kind of just like warning us like, hey, this is a possibility of what's happening in the future. What is your response? How will you react to that news?
And the podcast is free too. It's like this thing that, it's like you can communicate with all kinds of people, and you don't have any really middlemen or any management, anybody telling you, no, you can't say that message. And I think a lot of time in history we had informational gatekeepers, people who kept the information from getting out, people who are like, no, you can't be saved. You need to come through us to get saved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to pay money to do that. And you know, we've gotten good at that. And one thing I wanted to add to your question was, like, also I think information age is one part of it, but I think what we've learned in the Bible is in the golden age, the original pre-flood society, you had these realms interacting. You had creatures from the heavenly realms here on earth with us. So the gods and all these other things were roaming, and they were building these empires. And I think that all that stuff was true. And I think it's been repackaged in every culture's, sort of their preservation system.
Their mythos.
Yeah. But the golden age, the dudes who built the pyramids and all the things around the world, I think they were getting this knowledge from non-human sources. And so,
So that's what we've been talking about.
The days of Noah, right, are realms and knowledge. Yeah. And I think we're getting there again. So is the veil going to be pulled back and we're going to have all this weird stuff hanging out with us again? I think we're, if things work in cycles and ages, we're kind of coming to the end of an age and we're coming to a new one. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff's going to start roaming again.
How you know these guys are seasoned podcasters, because you said to answer my question. Dude, I forgot my question.
You asked 20 minutes ago.
You finished it up and I'm just like, oh yeah, that was my question.
Dude, but I want to say this for like all of the midline conservative thinking evangelicals who might follow the show. C.S. Lewis, who is somebody that most of our audience probably respects, he did an essay called Religion and Rocketry. Have you guys read this or heard this? It's insane. It's how theology and the church should view the discovery of extraterrestrials should they exist. Mm. And he does this entire argument. And basically, he said the argument he gets most often is that people will say, well, Jesus came for us to save us. And he said, one, that's arrogant to think we deserve it. So Jesus came because we are depraved. He's like, could it not be that our God created an expansive cosmos with other universes and we are the only ones messed up enough to have fallen? And so he came to us to shepherd us. And that's C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. So he's just giving hypotheticals.
It's hypotheticals, like, but like...
intelligent dude.
Yeah.
He was just like... that's what I love about C.S. Lewis, is just like how he came from like the mere Christianity, how he wrote about like... Mm-hmm. Basically, you can read mere Christianity as an atheist and come out like, because he argues it. It's like, and I love that about him, of just like thinking about.
The book is so dense, man.
Listening to the thing.
Reading a page is like a book.
Oh, dude, you have to like, any. I got to go back and read this again.
How do you put that many words in a sentence?
I listened to that essay and actually had to pause like every 20 seconds and then like process everything that he was just said.
And I mean, I don't think we're even contending necessarily that. I think one of the things that we got pushed into this journey really was, we had Dr. Michael Heiser on in episode 34, and he wrote a book called The Unseen Realm. We lost Mike last year, but he became a friend of Nate and I, as a friend of the show. And he was a biblical scholar, ancient Hebrew, ancient Semitic languages. He was an Old Testament guy. And his whole contention was that the Old Testament and the Bible is written to an audience that was culturally not us as Americans. Yeah. And not only that, but living post enlightenment and in this academic era, where we empirically measure everything and we have all these, it's very scientific in this sense. That wasn't the paradigm. In fact, they lived in a very real supernatural reality. And in some ways in the West, we've divorced these things and forgotten that we actually believe in a very supernatural faith. We have, an Immaculate Conception and a virgin birth and a resurrected Christ. And then you go to the Old Testament, there's all kinds of weird stuff. There's, a talking donkey and you can go down a million different things, Samuel being raised by the Witch of Endor, all these things that we can easily, there's 100 examples. But I think that paradigm in and of itself, understanding that we live in these worlds that overlap in the sense of the heavens and the earth, that there's space within this context for these things that go bump in the night and exist, and even for conversations around extraterrestrials and the UFO phenomena, because listen, like this stuff doesn't disqualify our faith. It doesn't sit outside of any fences. God is infinite, and we know so little about what has been created in the heavenlies outside of our story, which is the Bible's the story of humanity, right? That these possibilities exist. And we get into this on our show. It's like the angelic race and angels traveling, and how do we figure that out? And I think you can take a lot of these breadcrumbs and you connect a lot of dots and say, these are very plausible answers for what people are experiencing. It doesn't need to be little green men from Mars or from an, or from the Sirius system or the Pleiades, or it doesn't need to be that. It very well, I mean, you're not saying it's not that, but
you're saying a lot of words that I don't know.
The simplest answer is usually the right answer.
Correct.
Is what they say. It's like the simplest answer is like, well, it's very plain. We try to overcomplicate it. And so I it's just as a Christian, like it's hard to comprehend that these UFOs are anything but an animal creature.
Right.
That doesn't exist. And so like,
so yeah, that's a good point, right? Yeah. Like that there's very much a physicality. You watch a lot of sports.
We're trying to make sense of it,
right? Yeah, a lot of physicality to it, right? Because allegedly they crash, and allegedly there's bodies. These are the reports, right? Yeah. This is not just Luke making stuff up. This is what you can go through decades of these stories releasing of these things crashing and them recovering things. So it's not a manifestation, if you will.
It would be impossible to fake all those.
Right, and then the whole demon thing is really a broad brush people use in the church, right? It's just demon. Now, is it demonic? There's probably a lot of it that's demonic in the sense of being evil.
Yeah,
sure.
But a disembodied spirit, which is the definition of a demon, doesn't need to fly a plane or an advanced aerospace vehicle, as Tim likes to say. Doesn't need to fly that. Like, doesn't make any sense. It's a disembodied spirit. Doesn't need to do that.
We do get a lot of comments about whenever you talk about aliens and UFOs that, like, it's just demons. And it's like,
yeah.
For me now, I'm just like, I always said that I don't believe in aliens. I believe in angels and fallen angels. Yeah. It's just like,
and for me, I never had the concept of it being angels and demons until I met Josh. And so to me, it's like, okay, so why isn't it outside the realm of possibility that God created an animal that just became really intelligent?
Or
these aliens, that's the thing. It's like it's the or that's the possibility that's really swarms all of humanity.
Well,
Genesis six, I
know you want to say something.
Well, I think when we brought on Ali, you had a connection with him on our podcast. He was trying to say that a lot of Gnostic ideas have swept into the church. That everything is spiritual.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. And I think what his whole point was is think about it like Star Wars more. It's all physical. It's all happening here. Mm. You can touch these things. You can experience these things. Angels were kind of like us. And there are genetics mixed. And it created these giants. And it created a lot of problems, actually. But, you know, their craft, they're being made somewhere. They're crashing. They're fighting each other. Angels get held up from one point to the next point in Scripture.
Daniel 10.
You know, they have to move around.
Or the angel wrestles with Jacob. Like, you can throw the ethereal thing out, right? Because you go like, you don't get a hip injury from wrestling with the spirit.
It's a physicality.
And they walk into Sodom, right?
And they have like kind of like a Peter Pan view of heaven. It's like this imaginary place. It's out there somewhere.
Well, it's easier
but
to
we're really just
comprehend.
Living life here. But really, I think, like the better way to look at it is everything we do here echoes that kingdom. Mm. That's why we do have kings and queens forever. Where do we get these concepts from? How do we do everything we do? Well, if you listen to the Book of Enoch or read the Book of Enoch, it's a lot of information that was given to humans, and that's how we sort of learned how to corrupt ourselves. We didn't just make this stuff up. We weren't that creative. We think we are. But it's more like, imagine, you know, you could get on a boat and sail to heaven right now and it would be a lot like this.
Yeah.
It's just not here. It's just there and we're here. But there's not a lot of difference. And
it's so hard to comprehend.
It is.
I have a question.
So difficult.
What do you guys think the gray aliens are? Because
that's a good question.
What do you mean, gray aliens?
Like the typical, like the grays.
The gray. I thought you said great.
What do you think?
What are the great aliens like?
Well, they really overachieve.
Oh, they're better than the good ones.
They climb mountains. That's what they do. The grays. And that's a good question. So,
because that definitely started like, with Roswell, right?
Yeah.
Well, no,
like,
the
grays are usually like the short, skinny. Your typical alien that you see.
I mean,
because
the typical alien
big eyes guy
abduction involves that species.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to imagine those being fallen angels, You know, because it's just like it talks about fallen or angels in general, are they look like men.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's where I get a little
some kind of. I mean, that like I said earlier, we have two kingdoms, right? You have the kingdom of heaven, and you have a hierarchy of creatures that God is, you know, in control of and is part of God's family. And then you have the kingdom of darkness, and we know that they pervert a lot of things and they corrupt a lot of things. So, you know, we talked about a lot of the alternate history in our show that they've corrupted all kinds of animals. And I think that was the biggest part of the flood story that I wasn't told and most Christians weren't told, is that it's kind of like genetic lottery happening, and they were just making, they were inventing ways to sin. Like, let's take this thing and put it on this thing. Let's just F this thing up as much as we can down here.
Yeah, I have an idea.
Like hamsters.
Yeah.
Hamsters. Exactly. Those can't be made from God. They're weird. No.
And toddlers.
Right? No, it's like
whoa.
The platypus.
Yeah, the platypus. Is it a duck?
We don't know.
Is it a beaver? No one has any idea.
But so to answer the great question, so we know, you know, that Satan and his kingdom of darkness is just good at screwing things up. So I'm sure they can come up with ways to take this, take that, and create this thing that could. It sounds like the grays from the people we've interviewed, and all we can go off of is what we've heard on our show, they sort of carry out a task. They show up to do something. They're not evil in the sense that they don't frighten people half to death. They're not scary. They don't say things. They're very calm. They're kind of cold to the touch. They're kind of like little machines,
a little worker bees.
Could you say that, like, again, we're making a bigger spider web here.
Yeah.
Things.
It's just what we do.
But do you think that this is going to get crazy? Do you think that AI is this in this artificial intelligence? Is this, because in the Book of Enoch it talks about the fallen angels presenting knowledge to man?
Right.
Could it be that? Of AI being,
could
this,
they use
this,
that as an instrument to manipulate humanity
and or create this? We sound like psychos. I don't
know. No, we're asking questions.
I know, but I'm
you're
like,
good. You're good.
But I believe these questions.
I know.
Could these fallen angels create machinery? Because
using AI,
using AI like an artificial intelligence to where. Cold to the touch, they don't have souls. They're
right.
Just
empty vessels.
Empty vessels. I don't know.
Those are good. See, listen, all we can do is really have, I love this, right? Because what we try to do on our show is try to have conversations around a lot of questions don't have, you know, a real answer at this point, unless we get one and we dissect it, or we get a craft and we get to touch it. But the best we can try to do is postulate, like, through our biblical worldview, right? And try to, and I think this discourse is so important. Like,
yeah,
you want to talk about these things, because the reality is, and I've said this on the show a lot of times, but if we don't have these discussions as Christians and try to point this back to the scripture, then the world outside of Christianity, the world, if you will, is more than happy to disciple you and our kids and everyone else in their worldview. And their worldview is going to be the antithesis of the Bible. It's going to be the antithesis of Christianity. They're going to tell you what they want you to believe.
Yeah,
and so I think having conversations and discourse around this, and not just putting our heads in the sand, and not just like glossing over this verse because it's weird, but trying to understand it within the context of our faith is so important. And so when you talk about grays, it's like, I don't know that we know the answer, but as Nate said, there's a bunch of encounters. There's 30 years, 40, 50 years of ufology, right? People, they're anecdotal stories and encounters you can look at and go, there's something going on here. They're physical. You people have touched them, right?
Totally.
And there's something weird. And going back to what you said in the beginning, right? Angels are more like us in a lot of ways, right? But I think what I said before was like, there's a plethora of creation. And then what Nate said, we know from Genesis 6 that it says all flesh was corrupted. And something we talk about in our show are like the cryptids, right? You have these things that are part human and part animal, right? It was this mixing. It was defilement of creation and DNA. So that's happening in Gen 6, you know, thousands of years ago. And then you look at the UFO abduction phenomenon where they're taking DNA.
Yeah.
You know, God is the one that can create, right? But what people can do and humans do, and we would believe fallen angels and the darkness do, is to manipulate, right? And so taking these things and manipulating. So it's probably not a far-fetch to say that this could be some sort of genetic creation or or manipulation by the, not creation, but manipulation by the darkness, or perhaps it's somehow some one of these other super.
Or could you say that fallen angels are just fallen angels that turned emo?
There you go.
Just like, honestly, yeah. I don't want to get out in the sun.
Yeah. Start listening to Creed.
Hey, cold to the touch. Yeah. No, so is Scott Stapp a gray?
Just go stand out in the sun for
it's
a little
while.
It's not
emo. Guys. That isn't well, emo.
Fine. I think
the Black
Scott
Parade
Stapp was kind of like, he's like a rock emo. He's like a.
I don't think you can put any emo anywhere. Yeah, no,
emotional. Yeah. Dude, just, it's just with arms
coming out, I'm from the edge, and I'm thinking.
He's thinking about death.
Yeah, he's right there.
That's very emo.
That's rock emo, dude. It,
the best part is we know all the songs.
Yeah.
You know, you
coming out. Dude, so good.
So I think a part of this, too, is you have their technology and you have our technology. A lot of times, the goals are the same. I think they had technology to communicate to each other. A lot of these cryptid creatures can just talk directly to you telepathically.
Well, that's what you see
but
with
we
all
need
the
phones.
Functions. Yeah.
But we need phones.
And it took us forever to get to that point.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, did they have that from the get-go? Is that why we saw UFOs 100 years from now? Like, I mean, like, in the past.
Yeah.
Like, it was like everything was exactly the same for them. We don't see technological advances happening for them and compared to us.
Well, so maybe they are advancing their technology.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it this way. I mean, we have Ford cars and we get to drive our trucks, and they have their Ford cars and they drive the trucks. They have their heaven wheat bread that they eat. We do too. So it's you see these stories where it's like, man, our realms are very similar or overlapping, and the realms kind of touch each other sometimes. But the technology is there, and I think what they're making these things somewhere, and they're coming here, and that's really hard for a lot of Christians. And I think that, you know, part of our podcast is just putting these things in practical terms, so you can understand them. So like when this stuff shows up, it's not all spiritual woo woo.
Yeah,
I mean a lot of Christians think that it's just all deception. I'm like,
dude, do you think Tolkien was onto this? Like, that's what he was writing about with, like, the elves and orcs.
He's probably lifting straight from, like,
I think it was just
weird histories of people.
I think it was just like ancient.
Just a nerd.
Well, the little people exist.
Just a nerd, maybe?
A hobbit.
Well,
a silly language.
There's a ton of, like, biblical context to
right.
Because they were believers. But I think he was recreating this sort of depiction of what...
I think the Golden Age was like that.
Of that, right? You have the darkness that's creating these orcs, right? Which are these hybrid
mixing the angel-like creatures creatures.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah. If the Golden Age,
I like this guy.
That's a good.
You guys just started joking, and he was like, "Let's roll with this."
Tolkien
was, and we said on the show a lot of times that perhaps our reality is a lot more like Lord of the Rings than
absolutely.
We imagine,
and Star Wars too,
and this is happening. And listen, like I think what we try to do too is like we're not saying we have the answers. We're not creating some like new theology or anything like that at all. And in fact, we're trying to bring experts on our show to talk about their research. And we remind people that like it's best to, you know, chew the meat and spit out the bones, right? Because these are a lot of unanswerable things.
Yeah.
And when we try to contextualize it within our faith,
yeah,
you know, do it with a grain of salt, but also like things are ramping up so quickly. Like I don't think when Nate and I started this podcast in 2020, we could have imagined that in 2023 we would have the UFO disclosure. I mean, mainstream media talking for months, and now they're onto wars, of course, but months about this topic, and maybe the craziest thing is it hardly seemed to blip on the consciousness of the country, right?
Yeah.
They much rather fight with each other about other things, but this is happening. And it's going to become a point where we aren't able to ignore the realities of whatever this ends up ultimately being. But I think our contention is, man, you can find this stuff, answers to this stuff, concepts and ways to postulate what is going on within our faith and within history. Like you look at just the things that happen in the Bible, and I think all these things are within the realm of reality. And I don't think it's like, also I want to say this, I don't think we're just trying to stuff something into a Christian can and trying to make it fit either.
Well, that's what, I mean, I've had someone comment that before of like, well, yeah, if you believe in something so big that you can put it into one thing, like you can make everything connect if you want to.
Right.
And that just got me thinking. I was talking to Andrew about it today. It's just like of having that discerning spirit, you know, of just being like, discerning of just like, okay, yeah, that's actually a good point. You could take anything and everything. You could take something that is not real. Like someone can make up something and be like, oh, well, that fits into this narrative.
Right.
You know? But I think that is very important to be very, I don't know, understanding. I lost my train of thought.
No, but John says a test of spirits, right? Like,
I
think it's important that we, man, with everything in our lives, we use discernment. Like, that's paramount. But I think, too, when we're attempting to answer some of these questions that seem unanswerable and trying to take some of this phenomena and say, how does this fit with the way I view the world? I don't think we're stretching, if that makes sense. I think the problem with our paradigms is that we are, you know, we're living in here in the 21st century as Westerners, and a lot of this context exists written to ancient Hebrews, and we got to put ourselves into that paradigm. When you do and realize, man, like, we have a supernatural faith, and we have a faith that talks about a lot of these things that exist outside of this realm of in Earth that we talk about. And then I think, man, this can all, there are a lot of dots here we connect. And not in the crazy way, like that meme with Charlie from It's Always Sunny, where he's like,
yeah. Wow.
But I feel like that sometimes, right? I mean, you're like, you're trying to, you want to connect these things just even personally, so you can say, how am I to best think about these things? And
we have to also be okay with understanding we sometimes will never have the answers.
100%.
Yeah. We 100% will not have.
And that's super biblical.
All of the connections. Well, we have to be content with that. And that's the difficult.
But we might be wrong.
But the problem
is
too. I think 100%. a lot of us have come up with bad answers to these complicated questions.
Andy hasn't. They're all solid.
Really good answers.
No, I mean, I don't speak up unless I have the,
you know,
right,
like growing up and hearing about the flood. You know, the flood was just because, you know, you were just playing with yourself too much. You know, things like that, and that's why the God flooded the world.
It's a weird analogy.
We were all
weird
just,
place to go.
We were all just lusting so much, and we were all just doing that. Yeah. But it's like, no. The world, human beings almost were bred out of existence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were told it was just, you were so sinful, and so God had to wipe it all out. And it's like, I mean, human beings were on the verge of extinction when you look at it from this like 4D view, and then you start to be able to answer all these complicated questions that you had growing up. Because the questions are there no matter what, as a Christian. I've debated with guys all throughout college and in the band days, backstage, with a lot of dudes who just like didn't understand why we were a Christian band. Like, how can you believe in God because of this, 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 and this?
Yeah.
And they have no answers for these. And a lot of guys are like, I don't know. I just do, I guess. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But a lot of people do have problems with these major questions. What the heck was going on at the Tower of Babel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sodom and Gomorrah, God just blows up the town. What happened there?
Yeah,
you know, and there's these really like highlighted parts of the Bible that no one knows how to make any sense of.
So, someone comes up to you, someone seen an UFO, seen an alien, has these these ideas that are so outside the Christian perspective, that don't have a Christian perspective at all, and are coming to you and saying, "How do you make sense of that? How do you explain that to them in a short pitch of just like saying, like, I'm confused. How do you explain it to me?
It's difficult. I think guys like Tim Alberino have come on our show and said it very, very simply. It's not, you know, it's not this emotional thing that oftentimes is being presented to you in a church setting. I was doing drugs for 50 years and I had prostitutes and all this stuff. And then I came back to Jesus, you know, and that happens and people's lives are transformed and they stop participating in low, you know, a lower lifestyle. And they start to desire a different way of living. And that is what a lot of people think the gospel is. But he would say, you know, the gospel is you were a part of the family of God. You were part of the royalty. And you were tricked and swindled and we sinned and we became in a lower state. We were, you know, creatures that were designed to be immortal and live in this paradise.
Yeah.
And then we kind of chose to leave our family and live in the pig slop.
It's ruined it. The prodigal son.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the gospel is that you needed to be back in the family. So Christ comes and gives you his blood so you can come back to the family of God again. Mm-hmm. And it is very much like an act of sacrifice to reclaim us. So I don't know exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, because there is a lot of like reality happening, but it's packaged in stories that sound like, did that really happen? Or I'm not sure exactly how much of it was reality versus how much of it was a practical, like that's historical accurate retelling of this story. But what does happen is we seem to be, there's some sort of genetic change. The sin of Adam spread to every human.
Yeah.
So we biologically changed, and we needed someone, and it was the Son of God who came down and reclaims us and gives us back to the family so we can be back in the family again. And
totally.
That's the gospel in a very practical meaning. And sometimes, you know, you need to explain things to people in a very much like, you know, you're kind of wandering around clueless, and we're all kind of made in the image of God too. So we feel like we're lost often.
Yeah.
We feel like something's not right. We feel, so we try all these things in this world to kind of fill that void. So there is this like social gospel that kind of continues, but the raw reality is it does sound more like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And I'm lost, just like a Marvel movie.
You were talking about
halfway between, I'm like, what is happening? Yeah. I don't get this.
Yeah. You're talking about the Sunny in Philadelphia, the meme or whatever. I was listening to episode 199 with
Ali.
Yeah.
Ali.
And then I watched this documentary, and I came home, and my mom was babysitting our girls. I'm like, Mom, listen to this. And I just started like, I was like, fourth dimension, all this stuff. She's like, okay. Like, yeah. All right.
That's very good, Josh.
I'm like, I know I sound crazy. I know I do. And I was literally doing the hands. Looking back, I'm like, oh, man.
I'm fine. I'm not crazy.
I could have presented that way different.
Sit down.
Andy, to your point too, though, I think what's interesting about this journey for Nate and I, because it really is a journey podcast. We start with Bigfoot, right? And then we're really not, sometimes you don't feel like you're driving. Like it feels like you're on the story arc that is continuing, and it continues to line up, which is really a crazy sort of
thing to experience. Like, later, like I don't know how
we got here, though, right? Yeah. And what I think is fascinating is that we get a few emails every week from people that had an experience, and that's, we start to realize these things are not so uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people to have what we'd probably classify as like a paranormal experience, like something that isn't out of the ordinary, right? And a lot of these people think that have come to the conclusion that that wasn't compatible with Christianity or their faith, or disqualified them, or disqualified their faith. And I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to say it doesn't disqualify your faith. In fact, like, here's how you can contextualize it. And that's been part of the crazy part of this journey for us is maybe understanding how you feel like these things are so isolated and these things happen are very rare occurrences. And you know, we pick Bigfoot to talk about because it's the most, you know, encountered creature. It happens thousands and thousands of times.
It's scary,
a year,
dude.
Right. Right. But people are having things all the time.
Sometimes.
Maybe because of this Western paradigm we live in, that people don't know how to categorize or where to put that. And that's been part of the cool part is like, all even our own journeys kind of opening this space that says like, man, like God is so big. And we live in this enormous reality that I don't think we even realize.
And I think ancient people all believed in all of the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
I think they believed in their kingdom was the right one. Their God was the right one. And they were all at war with each other. There was no like, we don't believe in anything.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just floating through life.
What's now?
Care.
You go to sub-Saharan Africa and you get sick. You go see the witch doctor, right? Because witch doctor interacts with the spirits and these things, and there's some power there.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that this supernatural paradigm exists now in tons of places on Earth here. Just
always
really
has.
Doesn't exist very to a large extent, or to a very exist to a very small extent in the West, right? Because you know, the stories of the missionaries are my favorite, where, you know, we recounted these stories about, we don't want you to tell us about your God here because we serve this God and this God's powerful. And I've heard the story a number of times, but it always goes something like this. Someone gets sick, goes to the witch doctor. It doesn't heal the person. And they get on the phone or they send somebody out. Maybe not on the phone because it's the jungle. They call somebody, they send somebody out and say, hey, can your God fix this? And the missionary goes up and the person gets healed. And guess what? The entire village does? they say, oh, your God is more powerful than the God we serve. We want to serve your God. Mm. And that doesn't that paradigm doesn't really exist so much in the West, because all these people are already believing all these things happen. There are spirits, and we serve this God, and you serve a God, and your God, can your God do this? And that, I think, is much more, as Nate would say, like what the ancients and how the ancients believed. There wasn't this, like, there wasn't a bunch of people being like, you know, nihilists, like the Big Lebowski. We believe in nothing, you know? I don't think that was really a thing. I think everyone served their God, right? And then, you know, Yahweh is the king of kings. He's dominion over all of these lower, you know, Elohim is the Hebrew in the Bible, which is this, the same word the Greek use for angels. So you have these angels that are given, you know, dominion, and we're not going to do a whole theological lesson here, but then Deuteronomy 32, all the nations get an Elohim that governs. They all rebel against Yahweh, and then, you know, he takes Israel into himself. But these are entities that then became, you know, the lower G gods of the Old Testament. People weren't worshiping rocks and stones and trees because they didn't get anything from it. There was a power there because it was a real thing. And I think sometimes we get separated thinking like, oh, idolatry, you should have no other gods before me. That just means like I shouldn't really love football more than I love going to church, right? And those kind of things. But the context of the Old Testament was like, no, they were serving real entities that were behind.
They were getting something out of
that. Yeah, 100%. People don't do that unless there's some transaction
there
happening.
There has to be something that they're getting out of it. And so how do we, for people who do not believe anything in the Bible, anything, right, God, how do we justify, how do you communicate to them that, like, how do you give them an explanation for aliens, an explanation for anything supernatural who doesn't believe in anything spiritual? How do you justify that to them?
And that's, I mean, that's really kind of, I think, what we do on the show. You know, it's like, it requires a lot of dedicating your, you know,
being open-minded, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we start small. You start with something that's not small in the Sasquatch, but he's not a small being. But I'm just saying, you start with this thing that's
a small,
like,
concept.
Yes. Yeah. And then you kind of work your way towards the bigger concepts. And if you follow our line of like where we went, we started with this creature, then we kind of work back in alternate history. There is this alternate history that we all kind of know about. You know, people look at the pyramids and they're like, okay, 20 million blocks. Each block's 2 tons.
Yeah.
This thing's perfect. And it would take them 20 years to build if they put one block down every 5 minutes. How did they build this thing? It doesn't make any sense. Why did they build it? And, oh, it's astronomically aligned. Oh, this thing resonates.
Yeah.
This thing's got frequency. Wait a minute. There's this technology here. And there's a lot of people who are going to ancient aliens, and they're going to these UFO religions. They're going to spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to Burning Man. They're getting spiritual, whatever.
What's your answer for
that? I just think it's cool with all that stuff of just like explaining it. I think God has definitely set out like very logical explanations. And that's why I love people like Graham Hancock and stuff who. He's not a Christian.
No. He gets all the way to the end, and then
he's going down this path of like what you've always been taught with history and like the way things are. That could not be the answer. You know, like there's different explanations for this stuff. I'm like, you can take that. And I'm like, God's definitely laying out the foundation of like just different, I don't know, evidence.
Right.
You know?
I guess what I'm trying to say is, not believing in anything spiritual is kind of a luxury.
Sure.
It's not how it's been historically. It's not how it's going to be. And we know in the end it's going to be a one world religion. I think so. And I think everything's moving towards that. The sheep are being corralled. And having this, like, I don't believe in anything, is a luxury. So you can be there right now, but this stuff's going to start showing up, and it's manifesting, and it's coming. And we've been so conditioned in this paradigm for so long that we evolved over billions of years, and nothing's spiritual and everything's just ones and zeros. And it's kind of just a luxury time in life to believe that.
What does that world, one world system government look like to you? Like, what is that?
You're getting into Revelation.
Like, no, you're good. Like, no, like, yeah. like
we're going there.
Quickly, how does that look like?
Well, it's just control and domination. I think Satan offers codependency. You always need It's a needy system, and I think God offers independence and freedom.
Do you think human beings would go for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we already have. I mean, when you look at the last few years, get in line, shut your business down,
taxes.
Don't say anything.
Well, I'm saying Americans, like, they obviously fall in line with the U.S. government, but to follow a full world government, how would that look like?
Morally. Reagan. Morally. You will be morally tricked into it because it's a kingdom. They both have their moralities. It's a twisted gospel versus the real gospel.
So basically, for this, then you're against this. Kind of like that.
You
kind
hate
of thing.
People.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hate people.
You said Reagan.
You don't love people.
Do you remember his quote?
Yeah, from UN. Yeah, I think
what did he say? Quote.
I think this is. I think if you're going to have a hypothesis of how this happens, right? Because one world is, it seems like an impossibility. What we have going on in the Middle East right now, somehow you have to have Arabs and Jews get along, and Chechens and Russians, and Sunni and Shia Muslims.
Americans and Canadians.
That's it. Yeah, they just stop apologizing, right? I mean, but
Floridians and the rest of the states.
Right, Florida man and Tennessee man. Yeah.
Florida man.
Reagan said it in 87. I might have the wrong date, but it's 80s. He was at the UN and said basically, perhaps what we need to, and I'm going to paraphrase this, to unite the world would be something. An existential crisis, maybe something on par on the measure of an alien invasion, and this is the movies, right? This is like Independence Day and everything else. But when you start to think about this, and you go the way that things have been, we've been conditioned really in media and everything else that's been going on since the 50s and 40s, 50s, really, you start to see that you can pull some of these threads, and you go, perhaps this is what it is, because I think we as a humanity we lay down our swords if it comes to our own extinction. And I think we lay down those ancient wars with each other because there's something that's threatening the annihilation of us all.
Yeah.
Right? And I do believe there's a very good argument to say that somehow what we see in the end of days, and if you're Christians, you look at the book of Revelation, you know, how does the world go to war, right? With God essentially. And there's been some very good guests on our show that have postulated that this is an alien invasion. There'll be this. If you listen for it, you hear it. There is a narrative out there. It's not an ancient aliens narrative, but there's this narrative, and people will repeat this. People all over the map will repeat this and say, the aliens are already here, and they've been here, and they're going to step in to make sure we don't destroy ourselves, right? So there's this idea of this benevolent,
like they showed up when we did the first,
right? It's sort of the ancient alien thing
yeah.
too, but it's like this: they're here already, right? And
they're here to help us,
right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
all of our social problems,
yeah,
right.
They care a lot about that,
yeah. So we're gonna solve all of our issues: global warming, gender,
right.
They care all about this, guys.
So yeah. I think that there's a pretty good scenario you can create and hypothesize where. There then's this impending alien invasion by the hostile aliens, right? So the good aliens come. It sounds so crazy to even say out loud, but this is kind of.
I was literally talking about this with my mom.
Right. So they come in there and they basically unite us and then help save us from this impending doom, right? And
it's something that's repeated itself in history, right? It's like a Tower of Babel moment.
Yes.
Where everyone can speak the same language. And we all have to use a common enemy, and we need to unite to defeat the God of the Bible. And so I think what Satan's going to sell people on is like, you want your own, you want to do whatever you want to do. Yeah. F God. We don't need God. And we can
we don't
just,
need those people who are listening to him.
We can yeah. fight well, against
you,
him.
You yeah, can think yeah, about yeah. The, like the world coming together, like a example would be like when the, I don't know if you can say it without getting flagged, but the Rona, when the Rona broke out in 2020, you know, like everyone in the world reacted to that, you know, like. Whether whatever, I don't want to get into all that, but like
we took their word for it.
You saw like
everybody fell in line.
Yeah,
everybody fell in line.
Well, everyone didn't want to go home for Christmas because they didn't want to kill their grandma.
Yeah,
no, and it was a moral thing.
It comes down because it becomes a trust thing. It's like, oh, they have our best interest in mind.
But think of that on a like an intergalactic level.
Yeah,
you know,
like a spiritual level. Like
everyone would just be like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Almost as if like God comes out of the heavens and Satan comes out of the heavens and they're both like talking to you and you're like this whole reality opens up and you're like you clearly have to pick a side. You know what I mean? It's like if you just lived in the woods for I feel like humanity is right now, it's like we've all been kind of living in the woods for the last 1,000 years and then we're gonna come back to a city and we're gonna be like, oh my, what is going on? And I think there's just been this whole sort of unseen realm around us for so long. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going to wake up to it.
And choose the right decision or you die. Like, that's the type of thing where it's like, it's going to get to the point where
someone's going to have to make this. Yeah, you're going to make these decisions. Yeah,
make the decision. You make the wrong one, you're done. Your life is done.
Unfortunately,
it's so scary, dude.
And it was, I mean, the Book of Revelation talks about this great delusion and this great deception that happens. And I'm sure this could happen a lot of, you know, there's other scenarios where this could happen, but this seems like pretty plausible based upon social conditioning we're seeing, whether in media, out of Hollywood, out of what's happening with mass media now picking a lot of this stuff up. I think some of it's legit, like in the sense of like there are real whistleblowers talking about real stuff happening, but I think the lid's starting to come off, and perhaps we're in a timeline where this lid does come off, and this is the next step in the scenario where now we have an existential crisis for humanity. And personally, this is all my opinion, right? But it's hard for me to figure out how else this happens. Like, how do you get all these people that really hate each other and hate each other for millennia will say, hey, let's be bros and let's fight off these bad guys, right?
Just repeating themes. There's all these themes. So there were hybrids in the golden age. Gonna be hybrids probably then. Common enemy, fighting, wars. I think you kind of just see the themes kind of coming back. So I think you can kind of think, okay, it's gonna be everyone's together. Everyone has a common goal. They have to unite. And they have to go to war over something. And we can all put ourselves in the hive mind so we can come together. So I think if you were going to wage a war against God, you would need everything you possibly could aimed at him.
Mm-hmm.
Every human, hybrid, weapon, whatever. And I think that's kind of what Satan's going to try to plan. I think the Armageddon is something that's going to happen.
A kinetic
war with God.
I think it's bonkers that people just believe that like we're just existing. They're like, there's not something at
work. It's not a purpose.
Even if you truly believe that there's no God, whatever, and you're just living your own life, the fact that you don't think your government is a business and they're not working whatever they do to stay in control, to be number one, they don't care about you at all.
No,
and so it's just one of those things where it's like you have to make those decisions for yourself. You have to start, I don't know, like it's just, you have to be aware.
If we weren't on a list before, we are now.
Absolutely.
Listen, the
number one, baby.
The three.
I'll be number one.
You know, the last 3 years, I think it have been a massive red pill for a lot of people that didn't see the shell game, really, right? It's, if you didn't wake up in 2020, I think there's probably not a lot of hope that you do, because I think there's a lot of exposure into what was going on and to what intentions were. I think even before that, a lot of folks, probably me included, were just like, oh yeah, of course these people in power have the best intentions for us, right?
Yeah.
They're mostly good people. There's always bad apples and mostly good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, you know, we are, and they said, we're in a world of war. Like this is an ancient war that we're part of that isn't ended yet. God's written the end. We know how it ends, but we're somewhere in the middle of this thing, maybe middle end, depending on what your eschatology is, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I guess that's why I wanted to like lead to ultimately, because there's probably a lot of people listening or watching that are like completely freaked out right now.
And also like,
sorry,
like,
about that,
what are we talking about?
Yeah, yeah, they're like,
to go back to your Lord of
talking about farting and stuff. Why
am I not laughing right now?
To go back to your Lord of the Rings, you know, kind of remember the point when the rings and some things that shouldn't have been forgotten were lost.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where we've been the last thousand
years. That's a great line.
Because like there's this ancient war, and then there's this time where things were kind of calm, but the evil was still kind of in the background resonating, and now I think it's kind of coming back. So these things are coming out of wherever. I mean, we're getting phone calls last night with Tim Alberino with some crazy stuff happening in the Peru jungle. We're about to do an episode on that.
Things about the face peelers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Directly about the face peelers.
I know you've talked about it before, but like it's just, dude, it's wild what's happening.
That was our introduction to you guys, was talking about the face peelers.
Dude, okay.
Yeah.
So he's coming on talking about the girl, the whole story of them trying to take her face, and he's gonna drop that,
dude. That's wild.
And then everybody
she tells information about that whole ordeal.
Which he just went to the village where it happened,
bro,
and talked to him.
Oof. That and a bunch of other people that had encounters with
these things. Weird things.
See, all this stuff sounds so far fetched, and thinking one day we'll get there sounds like this thing that churches can't accept. But like you go back to Pharaoh, And like Moses is literally battling magic with the magicians.
Yeah.
They're led through the desert by a pillar of fire. It's like this stuff happened biblically.
Not only that, but like the Yahweh pronounced judgment upon the gods of Israel.
Yeah.
In which by nature of the text recognizes there was a real entity there that not only that, but had power and gave power to the priests and magicians in order to they could do a few things. Not what our God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, can do, but there's some power there, right? And I think that you're right. Like we sometimes kind of turns into a coloring book and say, did this. We'll skip over the Angel of Death, and we'll get to the end, and the people get out, and then cross the Red Sea, and all this, and you go, man, there was like, dude, there was things that were happening that were, I mean, very, if you will, supernatural. A lot of some guests on our show don't like that term. And that's maybe you had a question earlier, and I was going to say, I think the one thing, if someone approaches you and believes nothing about any of this, I think, as Nate said, you got to start small, but I think you also got to kind of break down semantics, right? Because I think you can look at the biblical text and talk about angels wrestling, angels walking, the physicality of that. And so if you're having trouble with this all being ethereal and spiritual, I can't buy into that, because you can go, let's point out the physicality of how this exists in the scripture. In these stories, and then I think you can draw very straight linear lines to some of the things that are happening today that we would think they're unexplainable or are being disclosed, and say, you know, perhaps this is the best explanation, and it is for us.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to get, and Josh, you said I don't ever want to feel like, and I don't think Nate and I do this, but I don't ever want to feel like what we're doing is trying again to take all these things and stuff them into a Christian box and say, well, this is how we make it make sense. I think it's quite the opposite. I think we put everything on the table and say,
because really to our own audience, the evangelical Christians of America, we sound psycho, you know? So dude, it's like,
my Bible
we're
college.
not even, their Christian box is not our Christian box. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's like, for me, it's just like, I love hearing from like the secular view, you know, like interviews with like Native American stuff that don't believe in Christ, and like them literally describing giants and like the star people coming down. Right. It's just like that literally correlates with all this stuff.
And it's not like we're forcing it. It's like, this information that I've read from this literary source, and now it's like something completely different. It's lining up completely. Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah. All the stories are the same. All the cultural histories are the same. They all talk about the flood.
Yeah.
They all talk about these entities showing up. They all have, it's just, who do they put on top?
Yeah.
And that's really the debate that's been raging on since the beginning of time, is who's on top of all of this? Who runs the show?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the, where Moses parts the Red Sea, the name of the mountain across, or like, it's like an island mountain. It's across the body of water. It's named after the god of thunder. And so like in their original language, literally God leads Moses to a place in the wilderness, and he's like, I am jealous of the attention their god, their thing is getting. So I'm going to take you all to his throne, and I'm going to show whose power reigns supreme.
It's like Jesus going to Caesarea Philippi and saying, the gates of hell, real place, to the base of Mount Hermon, real place, according to... you know, to the Genesis 6 epic, this is where the watchers arrived, and saying, on this rock. It's not Peter. It's on this rock.
It's like a cave to the underworld.
He's like, this place is mine.
Wow.
Mine. I have dominion here.
Yeah, the Temple of Pan was supposedly built there, and it's literally the back of it is like this cave that goes down into the underworld.
And they also had a Temple to Zeus there, which had the throne of Satan.
Yeah.
Which is what it's called, which is now in the British Museum, and that's where Jesus was saying, no, this is my place.
Yeah.
This is mine.
I'm going to build my church right here.
At the British Museum.
The gates of hell.
And I think that's kind of context. I think that's the kind of context.
Bit convicting, ain't it?
I like the context, right? Because I think in all these conversations, right, I think
we get
so
heavy.
Well, they're so important, I think, to understand the world around us and the things that are happening. Especially as Christians, but I don't ever want these things never trump the gospel, and that's the reality.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to before we wrap up, because we're going to continue this conversation on our half episode on Patreon. Patreon.com/ninjas or butterflies. So go. We're going to continue this conversation, but I just like to wrap this up, because we're all in this mindset. I know this. Of like, we get stoked on these conversations.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But for people like my wife and my mom, they're just like, it's so heavy, you know? Like,
no, that's just, that's for like, me too. Was like, I don't know what to do with this information. How do I apply this to my life? How do I feel happy after this?
So continue with what you were saying, because I feel like that's the bridge of like lifting this heaviness.
That's where we try to take people and be like, these conversations are, I think we believe, paramount for Christians and for the church, you know, broad brush church to have, because these things are happening to people. As I said, these people are having experiences, and we hear from a lot of these people, right? And then also we have this macro narrative that's going on with oversight committees and potential disclosure and all these talks about UFOs and aliens that are existing in the mainstream now, right? So what are we to do with that as the church, right? So these are very important conversations. And I think, if anything, we should go back to our Bibles. This is the place, is the foundation of our faith. And I think this, I mean, I think there's ways that this can provide context and richness to the text, especially when you read it from a supernatural worldview. And I think that's a lot of what Dr. Michael Heiser is trying to do in The Unseen Realm. And that's a great book. It's a lot like Mere Christianity. You're going to have to read each page 3 or 4 times because it's so dense, but it's such great historical context on what the scripture is saying, who it's saying it to, and who it's written to, and how we're meant to read that as 21st century Americans, right? All that being said, nothing trumps the gospel and the message of Christ and what he did. And if anything, I think understanding a supernatural worldview makes something that is the most incredible thing that had ever happened in the history of history even make more sense in him claiming dominion over the powers that essentially tried to claim us as sons and daughters of Adam out of the family of God.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough that like Nate and I's hope in all of this is to point people back to the scripture and back to Christ. Like that is it. And I think that is our hope, right? That the dark can be so dark. And Ephesians is, you know, says that we are not to participate in the things or the acts of darkness, but instead expose them. And sometimes I feel like that maybe is our mantra sometimes, is like,
yeah,
we want to expose these things for what they are. Not participate in them, but also, if we're to be followers of Jesus and follow in the footsteps of Christ, I think we do ourselves a disservice not to have conversations around things that are happening in the context of the Bible and also the work of Jesus Christ. And that's our hope, man. I think that's the end, right? Is that we can maybe be going through all this really crazy darkness, and the last 3 years have been wild, right? But our hope is always that the end is written. And I don't think any of us, I think there's sometimes this American ideal too, that like, follow God and all your things are going to, you know, you're going to get a bigger house and you get that paycheck. And you made a great video about the mega church pastor talking about the biggest house in Louisiana, all these funny things. Right. But there's this underlying, sometimes subversive narrative that things are going to get amazing and we're all going to get the things we want. But Jesus never said that.
Yeah.
So things are going to be hard if we followed him, but ultimately, and I'm getting there with this analogy, ultimately, the hope is in him, and the hope is that we get to spend eternity with him, and that he is one, and yeah, the end is written, right? Mm. And so I think if we look at all this, reminding ourselves the bookend of that Christ has already won, mm-hmm, and that we are, as sons and daughters in the kingdom, we are participating in that victory, that the darkness is not going to triumph. But I do believe that we would undersell ourselves not to talk about these things, because every last person matters to God. And if somebody has an experience, thinks it disqualifies them from the kingdom and the family of God, we're saying that's not true. In fact, there are answers for you. There are answers for you in the scripture and in the Bible. And you are loved and you are desired by your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And all this stuff, you know, doesn't disqualify our faith. And I think that's, you have to keep going back. I mean, that's the hope. You have to keep going back to this, because the dark gets real dark. Especially, you know, Nate and I, and we sit through interviews talking about, satanic ritual abuse, people that have come out of this, and you're weeping. Because we have kids, and this is happening to kids, and this stuff is a reality.
Yeah.
People don't want to talk about that, because guess what? It's super uncomfortable, and it's not fun to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's so dark, all you just leave feeling like you're carrying stuff, right?
Drained, but, yeah.
But we're meant to expose.
But someone
these
has
things
to talk about it. I think every great film, you know, I would say every great film has that moment where your character's just gone through all this crap And I think everyone is the Russell Crowe in this story, right? And the gladiator. Like, you're up against hell. You gonna do something about it? You gonna fight? You gonna fight back? I think a lot of times, you know, human beings is just, I'm just gonna lay back and not do anything because I don't know. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't really choose to be born into a war. You are born into a war. Sorry, reality check. That's just how it is. You can do something about it. You can fight
or you can get shot.
You can fight or get shot.
that's
you can
the
you
option.
Can carry the fire. Yeah. You know, you can put the Holy Spirit in your body and carry it.
Choose to fight back
in the darkest places of this world and do something. And when you have that humility, I think God shows up, and some miraculous things will happen to him because he needs us to carry the flame. And it's like that analogy: just one light on the hill, man. Everyone can see it,
dude. You can be Gandalf.
Nice.
I'm already there, dude.
Got a little, you good, shall not. A little more,
but it's not, we don't leave people feeling depressed and miserable. It's like there's hope.
Yeah.
But you got to know what you're born into first before you can do anything about it.
Yeah. And there's so much with it, dude. There's so much.
And there's Bigfoot just chilling.
Dude, and Bigfoot's like, what are y'all worried about, Dad?
Well, I mean, sometimes that's why we got to come out of all these things and be like, we need to have just a good old-fashioned Bigfoot episode because you trudge through some of the mud and the muck.
That's literally Ninjas of Butterflies 99% of the time. It's like, here's all of these really crazy things, and let's not care about them. Let's all just burn alive. It's not a big deal, dude.
Well, that I think we did break a record for the longest podcast, and that was awesome.
The heaviest and most intense podcast possibly. If you all are still listening, thank you so much. I'm sure you all need therapy just like us and need to process everything that we've learned because there's.
Just go to Blurry Creatures. Please. Listen to their stuff. And
because we could never figure out all of their stuff, all of your guys' expertise and all this stuff in within one episode. So we're going to have to bring you guys back eventually.
We'll have to do a part two.
We have to.
Yeah.